14, we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 11, entitled The Beda Kirtan Pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Text 90 through 95. So we'll read the verses, Bengali together until we get to verse 95, and then we'll chant responsively. Suklam bara deka e sridara vijaya bara basena e purushottama sanjaya. Gopinath Acharya continued to point out the devotees. Here is Suklam bara. See, there is Sridhara. Here is Vijaya, and there is Vallabhasena. Here is Purushottama, and there is Sanjaya. Kuvina Grama Vasie Satya Rajatana Ramananda Adi Sabe Deka Vidyamana. And here are all the residents of Kulina Gram, such as Satyaraj Khan and Ramananda. Indeed, all of them are present here. Please see. Mukunda Dasa Narahari Sri Raghunandana Kandavasi Chiranjiva Arasulochana. Here is Mukunda Das Narahari Sri Raghunandana, Chiranjiva, and Sulochana, all residents of Kanda. Katika Kaiba e Dekayata Jana, Chaitanya Dana Sabha Chaitanya Jivana. How many names shall I speak to you? All the devotees you see here are associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is their life and soul. Raja Kehe Deki Mora Haila Chamakara Vaishnavaya Aichekeja Deka Mahara. The king said, upon seeing all these devotees, I am much astonished, for I have never seen such an effulgence. So we chant responsibly. Koti Surya Sama Sabha Ujbala Varana. Kabhu nahi suni e madhura kirtana.
Kabhu nahi suni e
Koti surya sabha sama sabha ujvala varana.
Koti surya sama sabha ujvala
varana. Kabhu nahi suni e madhura kirtana.
Kabhu nahi suni e
Koti Surya Sama Sabha Ujvala Varana.
Koti Surya Sama Sabha Ujvala
Varana. Kabhu nahi suni e madhura kirtana.
Kabhu nahi suni e madhura kirtana.
Koti Surya Sama Sabha Ujvala Varana.
Koti Surya Sama Sabha Ujvala
Koti Surya Sama.
Koti Surya Sama.
Equal to the shining of millions of suns. Sabha. All of them.
Ujvala Varana.
very bright luster. Kabu nahi suni. I have never heard. Hey, this Madhura Kirtana, such melodious performance of congregational chanting. Translation. Indeed, their effulgence is like the brilliance of a million suns. Nor have I ever heard the Lord's name chanted so melodiously. Let's read the translation together. Indeed, their effulgence is like the brilliance of a million suns, nor have I ever heard the Lord's name chanted so melodiously. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Such are the symptoms of pure devotees when they are chanting. All the pure devotees are as bright as sunshine, and their bodily luster is very effulgent. In addition, their performance of Sankirtan is unparalleled. There are many professional chanters who can perform congregational chanting with various musical instruments in an artistic and musical way, but their chanting cannot be as attractive as the congregational chanting of pure devotees. If a devotee sticks strictly to the principles governing Vaishnava behavior, his bodily luster will naturally be attractive, and his singing and chanting of the holy names of the Lord will be effective. People will appreciate such kirtan without hesitation. Even dramas about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya or Sri Krishna should be played by devotees. Such dramas will immediately interest an audience and be full of potency. The students of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness should note these two points and try to apply these principles in their spreading of the Lord's glories. Indeed, their effulgence is like the brilliance of a million suns, nor have I ever heard the Lord's names chanted so melodiously. So, in chapter 11, Madhulila, the Beda Kirtan pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is returning to Jagannath Puri from his tour of South India. And initially we have a scene of the king, Pratap Rudra, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Roy, and then Gopinathacharya. And as the devotees are coming from Bengal to Jagannath Puri, 200 or so Sankirtan devotees, King Pratap Rudra is witnessing this, and he asks Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who are each of these devotees? He wants to know each one. And so they all go up on the roof of the palace, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, King Pratap Rudra, and Gopinathacharya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya defers to Gopinathacharya to point out each devotee to King Pratap Rudra. And as they're watching, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also sent Govinda and Swarup Damodar and Dvaitacharya is there, and he gets garlanded by Swarup Damodar and then Govinda. And Dvaitacharya asks, who is this Govinda? And so Swarup Damodar explains to Advaitacharya that Govinda is the servant of Ishwar Puri, was sent by Ishwar Puri to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Well, as this is happening, King Pratap Rudra asks, well, who's Advaitacharya? As he's they're watching this from the rooftop at some distance away. And so we hear that Advaitacharya is a great devotee, is the topmost devotee, right? Mahavishnu, or Sadashiva, the topmost devotee of Krishna. And then we hear in these set of verses more names of the Sankirtan devotees that Gopinathacharya is explaining to King Pratap Rudra, each devotee that they see there. And
They comment on the effulgence of Advaitacharya, how effulgent it is as compared to the brilliance of a million suns. I think the sun can be not only life-giving, but in a sense, it can be life-taking. The sun is so powerful that even if you stare at it for longer than a few seconds, you can burn a hole in your eye, in the cornea and the retina of your eye. It will destroy your eye just by staring at it for just seconds. And also, the sun, if you stay out in the sun for too long, it'll literally fry you, right? You get sunburn, blisters, third degree burns. And if you repeatedly stay in the sun, year after year, you may get a cancer. So the sun is so powerful, and yet it's also life-giving. We cannot survive without the sun. If we don't get enough sunlight, we can actually become depressed. There's certain parts of the world that don't get enough sunlight, and there's a tendency for people who are predisposed to just not be happy and to become sick and ill. And the plants cannot survive without sunlight or moonlight, which is the reflection of the sun. So the sun is so powerful in so many ways. It's life-giving and it's life-taking. And so here we have the comparison of the luster of Advaitacharya to a million suns. I mean, that's a very powerful statement. So how is it that Advaitacharya has this luster of a million suns? In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that if we want our chanting to have its full effect, that we must follow the principles governing Vaishnava behavior. And he says that their chanting cannot be as attractive, cannot, meaning that those who are just chanting for show, for artistic purposes, as a business, as a musical way of life, but are not Vaishnavas, are not following the principles of Vaishnava behavior, their chanting cannot be as effective as the chanting of devotees of Krishna. And so by following this Vaishnava behavior, the chanting of Hare Krishna gains its full effect. And he says that people will appreciate this kirtan without hesitation, immediately. And then dramas such as the dramas performed at Nuram and Reti Dham by devotees, they will immediately capture the interest of the audience and be full of potency. So how is it that chanting Hare, if Krishna's names are pure, how is it that sometimes they're effective and sometimes they may not be as effective? I mean, they're Krishna's names. So why is there not a full effect of Krishna's name sometimes? Shouldn't it, if it's pure, shouldn't it always be effective? And so I see from this purport that, in a sense, Srila Prabhupada is saying to some of us to not waste our time chanting Hare Krishna. How can we waste our time chanting Hare Krishna? Why is it that the people that are chanting Hare Krishna but aren't following a certain etiquette are not getting the full of, cannot get the full effect of chanting Hare Krishna? And so we must protect our investment in chanting Hare Krishna by acting like Vaishnavas. If we don't act like Vaishnavas and we chant Hare Krishna, not only will we not receive the full effect of the mantra, but in a sense, we make an offense because the mantra is non-different from Krishna. Committing sinful activity on the strength of the chanting of the holy name. And many, including myself, have and may be committing these offenses in an innocent way. And I don't think that's exactly what the meaning of this is, that if we have knowledge of Krishna consciousness, of the Hare Krishna mantra, And we still choose to not follow that Vaishnava behavior. Our mind will tell us that it'll be okay because this Hare Krishna mantra will annihilate that karma. And that it's okay to commit sinful activity. It's okay to behave this way. We have time. We have, you know, we'll eventually get there. And it's true that it's better to chant Hare Krishna than to not chant Hare Krishna. But if we have knowledge of Krishna consciousness, in order to put that knowledge into full effect and to maintain the purification that we get from chanting, and for our chanting to have the full benefit, we need to act like Vaishnavas. And that's how Advaitacharya has this luster, because he's a pure devotee, he's Mahavishnu and Sadashiva, but he's the topmost devotee, but he behaves like the topmost devotee. And so someone who's a pure devotee may not always act like a devotee, like Abhidhuts, but they do behave like devotees in a very perfect way, and they give us an example of Vaishnava behavior. When I was new to Krishna consciousness, I was newly initiated, and I was graduating from my medical residency, and part of the graduation was it was like your 5 minutes of fame. You got to, you gave them a DVD, and they would put it up, and it would, the theme of the DVDs for each graduate, there was like maybe seven of us, was photos of you as you got older throughout your life, sort of like a changing bodies like show. It was very interesting. But then you got to play a tune to it. So at the time, throughout my residency, I was shaved up, and I mean, I wouldn't wear tilak to work, but my colleagues knew that most of them knew that I was a devotee. Some of them just knew that I was vegetarian. There was something a little bit weird about me, but so I was thinking, you know, what am I going to have as my? I'm like, what am I going to have as my song? I'm like, well, of course, I have to have Hare Krishna. I mean, you know, like, there's no other song I'm going to pick for this, you know, like, there's going to be, like, hundreds of people there, and, like, what else can I think of that I would rather hear except for the Maha Mantra? So, a friend of mine at the time in Tallahassee had given me a CD, I believe it was for my birthday, and there was this one Hare Krishna kirtan there that I really liked. And like I said, I was new to Krishna consciousness. I was newly initiated, but I didn't really know all the ropes, and I didn't know who this person was, whose name I'll keep anonymous. But he was one of these types of artistic performers. And I didn't know anything about him personally, but I just liked his voice. So I invited to this graduation one of my godbrothers and my guru, and they put, you know, it, so I had the changing body thing going, and there's a few pictures of me as a, you know, later on, or more, which was more recently, as a devotee, and, you know, with a yajna, big fire sacrifice, and later on, I forget how the topic got broached, but essentially, I was talking to a guru and about this kirtan I like the kirtaniya and who he was and all these things, and I found out that he's a Mayavadi, and then I knew what that meant, and but then I was sort of having trouble understanding, well, what was wrong with that? Like, what was, he was chanting Hare Krishna. I mean, was there anything wrong with that? Like, did I make, was it offensive or what, you know, but it's Hare Krishna. And so the way it was explained to me, which made a lot of practical sense, you know, rather than dive into all of the deep philosophical meaning of it, what was really simplified it for me is that I didn't know this person. But I was attracted to the mantra. And so very subtly, I was attracted to this person. And not only was I subtly attracted to this person, but I was attracted to the philosophy of this person. I wanted to know about him, and I wanted to know what he was about, and how he behaved, and how he lived his life, and follow in his footsteps, you know, which is the process of Krishna consciousness. But this person was a Mayavadi. And so the mantra for someone who's innocent, it may not have its full effect, because it may bring us to Mayavad philosophy. And so I realized that actually there is a difference between who is chanting Hare Krishna and who they are, and that the mantra will have a different potency. It's not that it will have no potency, but it will have its full effect when it's chanted by a devotee. And so we see the luster of a Dvaitacharya. Another experience I had where I had a similar realization, I was talking to a very dear friend of mine, and they were going through a very hard time in their life. And again, we were both new devotees, and they were trying to overcome an addiction. And they were sort of hovering between, well, you know, the Hare Krishna mantra is so powerful that I can just chant Hare Krishna and it's going to destroy all my karma. That, you know, this other program, you know, for people who have an addiction, you know, you have to follow all these steps and go to these meetings, and no, maybe I don't need that, because, you know, devotees tell me that the Hare Krishna mantra is so powerful that if I chant it, I'll be purified. So I'm just going to chant Hare Krishna. And it just didn't sit right with me at the time. You know, I was like, well, yeah, he's right. You know, if you chant Hare Krishna, it'll purify you, it'll relieve you of all your karma. But something just didn't sit right with me. And what didn't sit right is that this is a trick of the mind to tell us that we can continue to sin and that we don't have to be accountable for our mistakes on the power of the holy name, that we don't have to actually behave or act or be Vaishnavs. We can just be pretenders. And that's not the full effect, that doesn't give us the full effect of the mantra. Sure, we may be purified, but immediately we're throwing dirt on ourselves, and what's the point of that? So this is what I mean by, don't waste your time chanting Hare Krishna. It's not that we shouldn't chant, no matter what stage we are at in devotional service, but it's that we should realize that if we want to protect our investment in chanting, we need to behave and act like Vaishnavas. And the mantra actually helps us do that, but in the same regard, we don't instantly become pure devotees. We need to follow some example and have other Vaishnavas in our lives that we can follow in their footsteps. And it's a process. I mean, it takes time. And that's okay. But we should endeavor to behave in a certain way. And so while we're chanting Hare Krishna, we should try to be accountable for our mistakes. We should try to repair the mistakes we've made in the past in relationships. And we should try by any means to become purified of our anarthas and to overcome any illnesses we may have, you know, physical, bodily, or mental, or addictions. We should do whatever it takes to become purified of those specific things while at the same time chanting Hare Krishna. So we don't have to give up other endeavors to become purified. And we can do it alongside chanting the Maha Mantra. So, does it come to anyone's mind how they may have been subtly affected by impersonalists who chant Hare Krishna or anything of the like, and through association, through direct association, or through indirect association? So Srila Prabhupada, in a class on a Nectar of Devotion, this is January 10th, 1973. So, Srimvatam Swakata Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17, if we are sincerely hearing about Krishna, this very first qualification, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, this society we are holding classes just to give opportunity to people. We are not professional. That you come here and pay, then we continue. Otherwise, we stop. No, our business is to distribute the glories of the Lord. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Therefore, it is recommended. Satang Prasangan Mama Virya Sambido. Srimad Bhagavatam 325-25. And satsang. Satsang means association of the devotees. Satang prasangan mama vira samvido bhavanti rit karna rasayanaha. Just contrary to this, a Vaishnava, mukhod girnang, kutang hari katamritang, shravanam naiva kartavyam. Those who are not Vaishnav, those who are not devotees, one should not hear from them. It is useless. Waste of time. Shravanam. Sorry. Shravanam na kartavyam sarpochishtam payo yata. Just like milk touched by the lips of a certain is poison. You cannot say it is milk. Very nice. No. Because it is touched by the lips of the serpent, it is useless. Similarly, as soon as a professional reciter or a Vaishnava reciter, without any realization, without being a devotee of the Lord, recites, that should not be heard. That is restricted by Sanatana Goswami. A Vaishnava, mukhodir girnam, putang hari katamritang, shravanam naiva kartavyam. Because you'll not derive any benefit. You go on hearing for thousands of years. Thousands of years, still you'll remain where you were in the beginning. But satang prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti ritkarna rasayanaha kata. So this kata, Hari kata, Krishna kata, should be heard from devotees in the association of devotees. Srinvatang swa kata. Then Krishna will help. Krishna is very intelligent, more intelligent than you. So he knows your heart. What for I am hearing, then he will help us. So how do we behave like Vaishnavs? What is that behavior? Where does that come from? Anyone?
Follow the four regular.
Okay, follow the four regular principles. So Vaishnavs follow certain principles. The principles of Vaishnava behavior is what Srila Prabhupada says in the purport. So those topmost principles will be the four regular principles. But is it that by following certain rules that we become Krishna conscious? Like if we just follow these rules, then we can become Krishna conscious.
If the purpose of the rules are founded by Prabhupada in many ways, then we have to focus on the purpose why we follow the rules regulation that we do every day. And the purpose is focus, that our goal of life, and this is the process, then automatically service attitude toward Vaishnava and Krishna automatically arrives.
Yes, to do the process. So the purpose. Tesam satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tang yenamam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So the purpose behind the rules is Krishna, is to remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And when we act in such a way that is attractive to Krishna, He comes into our heart, He inspires us, and the love of God that's in our heart becomes awakened automatically. So it's by acting in a way that's Vaishnav, but it's also Krishna's mercy. It's not, like Prabhupada said in that lecture, Krishna's intelligent, we can't fool Him, He knows. So if we're sincere and we act like Vaishnavs and follow Vaishnav etiquette and Vaishnav behavior and these rules, if we make a mistake, that's okay, Krishna knows. But at the same time, if we're insincere, He also knows. And so when we act in a certain way, then He inspires us from within. Then we receive the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Vaishnav etiquette. This is Antya Lila 4:128-130. Tatapi bhakta swabhava maryada rakshana maryada palana haya sadura bhusana. My dear Sanatan, although you are the deliverer of the entire universe, and although even the demigods and great saints are purified by touching you, it is the characteristic of a devotee to observe and to protect the Vaishnav etiquette. Maintenance of the Vaishnav etiquette is the ornament of a devotee. So even though Sanatana Goswami is the deliverer of the entire universe, still he follows this Vaishnav etiquette. That etiquette is the ornament of a devotee. So isn't it that, are there any rich people who do not have riches? No, a rich person, the evidence that they're rich are there these material things that they have. So the evidence that a devotee has a deep connection or relationship with Krishna and is Krishna conscious is their behavior. And so this is the ornament of a devotee, but it's not that, if we don't follow something that seems so insignificant, maybe, like, you know, well, it's certain etiquette to eat with a certain hand, right? One of my friends is actually left-handed and had a little crisis because had always been using the left hand for things that the right hand should be used for. The clean hand. It's not that by just following certain rules that we become advanced, that people should suddenly respect us because we're following very strictly. No, it's that because we have Krishna consciousness from within, then naturally we follow certain Vaishnava behaviors. And it's not that we put so much emphasis on these rules, that becomes the penultimate, just following rules. By following the Vaishnava behavior and by chanting Hare Krishna and following the principles, naturally we become, that, you know, following Vaishnava behavior becomes a natural result of that. So this is another verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is Madhya 22:113. Smartavya satatang vishnor vishmartavyo najatuchit sarva vidhi nishedasyur etayor eva kinkaraha. Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the sastra should be servants of these two principles. So above all the principles of Vaishnava etiquette, the topmost principle is just to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And that's why those rules of behavior are there, because they help us to remember Krishna. They're not there so that if we follow them really strictly, suddenly we'll become an advanced devotee. Advanced devotees follow the principles, but at the same time, the principles are there so that we can remember Krishna. So other ways of important ways of following Vaishnava behavior. Bahu janma kari yadhi shravana kirtana tabuta na paya Krishna pada prema dhana. If one is infested with the 10 offenses and the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, despite his endeavor to chant the holy name for many births, he will not get the love of Godhead. That is his ultimate, that is the ultimate goal of his chanting. So we should know what the offenses are to chanting Hare Krishna. And at the same time that we're chanting, we should be conscious of those offenses and we should try to avoid them. Obviously, if you don't know what the offenses are, then you're still in the phase of innocence, so to speak, that, you know, you don't even know that you're making offenses. But we should know and study those offenses so that those offenses can be avoided, so that we can protect the investment, the time that we put into chanting, and so that our chanting can be effective. And one last example of how we can follow Vaishnava behavior is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shashastakam. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should give all respects for others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So, impersonalism is the philosophy that we're God, which is not completely untrue, except for the fact that that is their siddhanta, that is their highest truth, that we are God, that we're an illusion, and that actually these forms are illusion, and that the Supreme is an energy, and we're all that energy, so we're all the Supreme. And so chanting with this mentality is not chanting in a humble state of mind. Because we are trying to picture ourselves in the position of Krishna. And where our position is to be the servant of Krishna and the servant of Krishna's devotees. So in the Shastashtakam we can see an example of how to be how to behave like a Vaishnava and the mentality of a Vaishnava, that everyone is more advanced than me. And then I'm just a beginner, and I have so much to learn from the devotees around me that I should really take the shelter of devotees of Krishna. And so I'll end with this point. How would our lives change if we were to chant Hare Krishna and to invest some of our energy into following regular principles, any one of the ones that we mentioned, either trying to avoid offenses or following the regular principles or following the principles of Vaishnava etiquette? Would our Krishna consciousness change? Would our relationships change? Will we be more effective preachers? And so, in this verse, indeed, their effulgence is like the brilliance of a million suns, nor have I ever heard the Lord's names chanted so melodiously. Krishna consciousness is a science, and we have this example of a Advaitacharya, and so it's promised to us that if we follow this process of Krishna consciousness, we will receive the results. We will be purified, and evidence of that will be that our preaching, our outreach will be effective. And people will take interest. People will take a lot of interest in our Krishna consciousness, and we'll be able to share this with others. So don't waste your time chanting Hare Krishna. Protect your investment in chanting Hare Krishna by following the regular principles and by taking the association of senior Vaishnavas. So I'll end there. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Thanks for speaking so nicely on this topic. I have a question to give a little bit of a priority just because of the nature of it, so I apologize for the length. But it relates to the purport. recently using the movement, we've had a profusion of 24-hour ketones, ketones. This has been great because it's really brought an increased focus on the chanting of the hormones, both for the devotees to go deeper and for non-devotees or lay people to get involved. And it's been really wonderful as this has grown and spread around the movement. Now we see ketones everywhere, the sense of the world. This year in Mayapur, they had their own ketone there, and there was a little bit of an unusual situation. A lot of senior devotees, very senior people, didn't come, didn't chant, didn't even come. And then some of them were even holding ketones elsewhere that the devotees were going to. And it was kind of getting with their feet. Apparently, there was some feeling that Sri Prabhupada's ketone standards weren't being perfectly adhered to. And I guess they wanted to, perhaps, well, I shouldn't guess. But anyway, it appeared that they were making a little bit of a statement in that regard. Another very senior person felt that rather than responding that way, that they should actually, you know, come and try to raise the standards satisfactorily. So that was all about the controversy. I was there the first couple of days, and I was actually out of town and all that, but I was hearing it from my children and friends. And I think this is the first time this really came to such a head. So my question, sorry for the long parable, but my question is, what sort of a balance do we find? And it is not between like non-devotees chanting, this is all sincere devotees. But I guess my question is, what sort of balance do we find between the liberality of, you know, really spreading the chanting widely and at the same time adhering to Srila Prabhupada's standards so that the effect would be there and that all the devotees would be satisfied?
Thank you, very nice question. I think it's very important that we encourage others to chant Hare Krishna wherever they're at. And that the best way to encourage others to chant Hare Krishna is to be an example. And I feel like to be a good example, we have to be present. So I think and cultivate relationships. And so and everyone has a different style of doing that. I think it can be individual how someone, how they choose to cultivate relationships. But the relationships that I have and that have been the most meaningful ones to me are ones where communication is open and where I feel cared for. And in order to feel cared for, I need to have a relationship with someone who's loving and caring. So I feel like it's okay that we're all at different places in our Krishna consciousness, and that some of us may be chanting with one mentality and some of us may be chanting with another mentality. I think the important point is that we do this together and that we cooperate. One thing that's near and dear to my heart is that I feel like in order for our movement to be prosperous, we need to be able to, relate to all of the generations, in ISKCON and in the Hare Krishna movement. And so sometimes just by the nature of it, there can be a generation gap where the communication is not very easily cultivated just because differences in generations. But Krishna consciousness is beyond that. It's timeless. So I think in order to cooperate, we need to overcome those differences that are just generational and see that we were once young too. We were once inexperienced and we were once innocent and we may have even been knowingly offensive. But Srila Prabhupada accepted all of us and he encouraged all of us in Krishna consciousness no matter where we were or who we were. And I think that Srila Prabhupada is the perfect example of how to how to love others. So I would hope that all of us can encourage others to chant Hare Krishna. And, you know, like I said, it's not that chanting that we shouldn't chant Hare Krishna. It's just that it's more effective if we follow the regular principles. And so how do we get others to follow the regular principles? Do we get others to follow the regular principles by saying, hey, you know, stop eating meat, stop doing this, stop doing that? What happens if you go to a child and you say, hey, don't do that? They go and do it, right? I mean, that's essentially what happens. That's how children behave. I think the way that we get others to follow the practice of Krishna consciousness is by loving them. And I think people experience love by having some personal contact and care and inquisition, you know, developing a relationship. Who are you? What do you like? Where are you from? Just kind of simple things. And I think if we kind of fall away from just the basic aspects of relationships, then we're actually, you know, it may seem like we're making a statement, but I think it could be potentially harmful. So I hope that was a little bit of a long-winded answer, but I hope. Yes, please.
In 78, Purna Das Baul, I don't know if you ever heard his name, Purna Das Baul. We have in our Chaitanya Charitamrita book, few places mentioned that there is a 13 Aposampradaya that we should be careful. They looks like devotee, they act like devotee, but their understanding and their offensive misunderstanding, it's a very detrimental. They will never get love of Godhead until they come out of that. And one of the leader was Purna Baul. Aul, Baul, Kartavarja, Darbes, Naraneri. So Baul Sampradaya head was Purna Das Baul. And Purna Das Baul was a good friend of Ravi Shankar, a friend of George Harrison. So he came to Mayapur. And Prabhupada was there. And Sadhudana Maharaj, was Sadhana Prabhu now, he was regional secretary. And so I was there 78, and then I remember Purna Das Baul came. I was fascinated because I love his song. You know, it's like a hero to me. I had no idea this is bad. But then Sadhudana Maharaj, he told us what happened when he came previously and how Prabhupada encouraged him. He said, where is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Baul song? Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote Baul song. And he said, ask him to sing those. Instead of his own song, he should follow those, and this way he will get purified. And he did. You know, and it was very interesting. So when he came again to Mayapur, we encouraged him to sing that Baul song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Prabhupada was very encouraging. It's not that he was discouraging him, but he was encouraging, but at the same time was under guidance. So that was that. But with love and affection. And it worked. I don't know where he is. Probably he's dead now. He was already old man that time.
Jai. Yeah, I mean, my generation needs the association of senior Vaishnavas. And in the same regard, I feel like the senior Vaishnavas also need that the younger generation be Krishna conscious through their association. So I think that there is a mutual relationship there that, if it's cultivated, will help the Krishna consciousness movement spread. So I think the relationship is one of cooperation and understanding that we need each other. Srila Prabhupada's with us in his books, but if we're to continue his movement and spread his movement throughout the world, and strengthen the movement, we all need to work together. It's not going to be a one-man show. We all have to work together, all generations. Thank you very much. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. Sri Prabhupada ki. Gaur Premanandi.
Thank you.